Well, Bakri, let me add my gratitude for you wherever you are. Just grateful for you and you're honored among us. You know, it's quite remarkable when you think about and you hear about the terrorists that God converted the Apostle Paul, who was a terrorist, and made him a leader. And so may he do that even amongst the terrorist leaders that you are facing. Well, if you're a visitor guest, my name is Tom, and let me add my welcome to those that you have already received. It's an honor and privilege to have you here with us. We are in the midst of a series on the Holy Spirit, who He is, what He does, and why that matters for your life. In fact, last week, we started talking about spiritual gifts, and if you are a follower of Jesus, God's Word says that you have at least one spiritual gift, maybe more, and you can check that out at cachurch.com for a link that will help you discover and begin to use your specific spiritual gift that God has given you. This week, we're going to jump in and talk about one of the spiritual gifts that I get a lot of questions about, the spiritual gift of healing. When I was a youth pastor in Charleston, South Carolina, I met a guy named Greg Surratt. He's older than me. He's probably about 65 now, 66. Became kind of a mentor in my life. Leads a really large church there in the southeast of the U.S. Recently, I heard about one of the guitarists in their church, a guy named Micah, who experienced a pretty dramatic physical healing. And so they actually took the time to put Micah's testimony on video. And I want you to see it as a way of us jumping into this topic of physical healing. So would you take a look at the side screens as we hear about Micah's story?
So 2013, I came down with what we thought was just the flu, kind of started getting stomach sick. And so this became a daily thing where I was nauseous, in a lot of pain, vomiting, passing a lot of blood, vomiting blood. There was a period of time where I would have to wake up 2 hours before my alarm to take medication just so that I could actually get out of bed. At the roughest point of the disease, I'd lost 40 pounds.
So I work in healthcare. I'm a PA, physician assistant. I work in emergency medicine. I've been doing that for 8 years, and it was difficult as the years went on, realizing that I could help my patients, but I couldn't help my husband. I don't know, I think that was the hard part, just watching him kind of go through something that I couldn't fix.
We'd spent so much time getting so many different opinions and diagnoses almost from different people that at some point, I just felt like maybe it was just all in my head, and I even asked the doctor that question. I said, I can handle it. Just tell me, am I making this up? Is this in my head? And that's kind of when we started seeing a new doctor here in town, an environmentalist, and he diagnosed me with a rare form of MS that resides in the gut. I think the darkest moment came when Amanda and I were thinking about other people that we've prayed for, that we had seen healing and restoration for, and it wasn't coming for us. And just going, God, what is the purpose of this? Why would you want somebody who's serving you to suffer this much? Brandon Lake, one of the worship leaders at the church and a dear friend of mine, he kind of pulled me aside and said, hey man, I know you're struggling, but I just feel like I gotta tell you, the Lord is gonna use your story, and he's gonna use it soon. So just hang in there if that gives you any hope. So this is the 25th of March. I was playing that weekend at church. Lance Gatch was playing that weekend with me, and he said he has a friend in Nashville named Joshua Silverberg.
So Micah came home and was like, Lance told me about this guy that has some healing prayer or something. We should talk about it. And I remember both of us kind of sarcastically chuckling, like, I guess you could get healed over the phone. What else do we have to lose at this point? Like, sure, let's try.
So Tuesday, March 27th, I see that I have a call from Josh. So I answer the phone, and I had obviously never met him. This is my first time ever speaking to him. I don't really know anything about him. So we start talking, and he finally gets kind of to the place where he starts praying for me. And the only way I can describe the feeling is just like there was this like electricity that was kind of pumping through my body, I felt like, as he started to pray for me. He said, Jesus, give Micah back everything that Satan has taken from him. And in that moment, it was like a lightning bolt that just broke.
His countenance changed. Like, his shoulders were heavy, his eyes were heavy. And I remember instantly seeing that come off.
I jumped into the air with this energy sitting right here. And he said, "What are you feeling?" And I was like, the only thing I could say was, "I feel the opposite of fatigue. Whatever that is what I feel right now." So he says, "Well, test it out. Go run around or something." So I get up and I'm running around my yard on the phone with this guy that I just, you know, don't know at all, screaming like a crazy person. And he's doing the same. He's in Nashville running around his yard screaming, freaking out. And in that moment, I was completely healed and completely released. We'd been on the phone for about an hour, and he says, "Hey, I'm really sorry, I have to go." He was asked to speak that night at his church on healing. He was like, "Well, hey, if you want, you can watch this service online." We log in, watch the service, so not only do I get healed, but within an hour, Josh shared my testimony that night, and there were people in the room that were healed through it. It's crazy to think that something that we had accepted as normal, this sickness just became, okay, this is part of our story now. This is our burden to bear, the thorn in my side. The Holy Spirit changed it in a second over the phone with a stranger.
If he had gotten healed gradually over a couple months, I would have been able to chalk it up to some kind of treatment or medicine or whatever that we had been on. But because it happened like in an instant before my eyes, I knew it had to be Jesus. Like, I didn't have any way to argue it or to not believe what had happened. We learned how to pray without getting answers for a long time too, which I think is something really painful that I would never have admitted before, but there were many years of no answers to those prayers. But now we got one.
So this year I do have the honor of getting to play with Need to Breathe Again. Love playing with them, but it's a whole different experience because I actually get to fully enjoy it, not having to fight through just to get to the show, just to do my job, but actually I get to spend time with people and build relationships and really enjoy each moment for what it is, which is so different than last year, and it's such a gift.
Can we applaud God's good work in Micah's life? Yeah, thank you, Lord. He was healed in March of 2018, and so his healing occurred more than a year ago, and he's continued to be healed up to today. And if you're like me, that testimony leaves you with tears of gratitude for God's healing power in his life, and it also leaves you with a lot of questions. And so we're going to consider that. But before we do, let's pray. So God, now I pray that you would speak to us through your word. And Lord, as you speak to us through your word, that faith would arise in us. What you want to do in our lives, the lives of our friends, coworkers, neighbors, family members. You are good. We come to your word. Build a fresh faith in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. On your way in, hopefully you got a bulletin. If you did, go ahead and grab it. Flip it open to this little center section. You'll see the teaching notes that are there that you can fill out throughout our time together this morning, as well as the scriptures that are there directly from God's Word, the Bible. You can't read very far in the New Testament without coming across the story of Jesus healing someone. Jesus healed all sorts of people. He healed people with leprosy, others who had been paralyzed, others who were blind, others who were deaf, others who could not speak. He healed a woman with a bleeding issue, a man with a withered hand, and even someone whose ear had been cut off by an overzealous disciple, right? Jesus not only healed, but then by the time we get into Luke chapter 9, verse 1, we hear that he gave the authority to heal to his 12 disciples. It says, "One day, Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Then he sent them out to tell everyone about the kingdom of God and to heal the sick." Now, if you're like me, you could be tempted to think that's amazing that Jesus did that for the 12, but I'm not one of the original 12s. I'm no apostle. But that's not the case here. What we see is that not only gave it to the 12, but he began to kind of extend that circle. So by the time we get to Mark chapter 16, verse 16 and forward, Jesus is now resurrected. And he says this, "Anyone who believes the good news and is baptized will be saved, but anyone who refuses to refuses to believe will be condemned. These miraculous signs will accompany those who believe. So now these signs are accompanying any who believe, not just the 12. They'll cast out demons in my name, and they will speak in new languages, and they will be able to place their hands on the sick, and they will be healed. Well, when it comes to this topic of healing, of course, the very first question that I often get from people is this: does healing still happen today, right? Does it happen today? Before I answer that, we have to step back and understand this word healing. There are three basic areas of our humanity that can go wrong, resulting in three different kinds of sickness, each requiring a different kind of prayer. There's a sickness, what I would call a sickness of our spirit. For example, if someone said to you, I will never forgive that person for what they did, I would say that that's a sickness of their spirit, where they have unforgiveness. That unforgiveness is an example of a kind of sickness that they need to be set free from. Then, of course, there's emotional sickness caused by emotional hurts and wounds from the past. And then there's also physical illnesses and sicknesses caused by either disease or possibly accidents. Plus, any of the above, sin or emotional problems or physical sickness, can be caused also by demonic oppression, which is a different root cause that requires a different prayer approach, namely a prayer of deliverance. So that means that there's basically four basic healing prayer methods that we need to understand. The first is a prayer of repentance, and that would be, for example, in a case of unforgiveness, a sickness in their spirit. The second would be a prayer of inner healing. This would deal with emotional issues and emotional traumas and problems. The third would be prayer for physical problems. Of course, physical sickness, accidents would be included in that. And then the fourth is a prayer for deliverance, and this would be an example of that would be demonic oppression. Now, all of these things are distinct, and yet, in some people, in some cases, two or more of them might combine and be present. For example, imagine you had a friend who was a middle-aged man who asked for you to pray for him to be cured of arthritis. Well, that would be a request for physical healing, right? But upon talking with you, he begins to share that he was deeply hurt emotionally by his mom growing up whenever he was young. Well, that might be an example of the need for inner healing. Then he goes on and says, you know, that he's never really been able to forgive his mom. Well, that would be the a healing in his spirit that would need to happen. He'd need to be led into forgiving his mom and repenting of that unforgiveness. Maybe then he shares, you know, even today I have trouble relating to my wife. Well, it's created problems in our marriages, and that might be another way that he's saying there's inner healing that needs to occur so that his marriage can be strengthened. And maybe he said, you know, I got so desperate that in search of some kind of help to cope with my predicament, a friend invited me to a seance, and so I went with a psychic and had this seance, believing that that would help me, and so I've kind of opened myself up to that as well, which now maybe would be showing the need for deliverance might be needed as well. Now, let me set aside deliverance from demonic oppression, because I'm going to do an entire weekend on that later on in the series, and so we'll set that aside for now. Back to the question, does healing still happen today? Well, the answer is yes, but before I say yes, let me explain what I mean by that. God has designed the human body with many self-restorative abilities that we often take for granted, right? So maybe you cut yourself, you nick yourself, and if your body's functioning as God has designed it, over time it'll form up a scab and then slowly it'll heal up, right? So when someone says, does God heal today? Yes, it's happening all the time. In fact, your body right now is replacing some of your skeleton. You might not know that, but every 10 years you get a new skeleton as your bone cells that are brittle are replaced by new healthy bone cells. So there's all sorts of things that go on normally in our body that we either don't know about, or if we know about them, we just take them for granted. So God is in the healing business. But another way that God works is through doctors and counselors and nurses to facilitate facilitate that healing process. And for those of you, I know many of you are in those fields who work in such vocations, I want to personally thank you for being ministers of God's healing work among this community as well as our neighborhood and our city. And I want to say well done. In fact, I was in a hospital just last week and I was amazed at all the expertise that people have given to get the training in order to say, okay, I want to be part of bringing healing to this particular patient. For all the healing by faith and prayer in the Bible, it also actually includes medicinal means. For example, the Apostle Paul, who is used by God to heal a number of different people by faith, also wrote this to his protege Timothy. In 1 Timothy 5:23, he says, "Don't drink only water. You ought to drink a little wine for the sake of your stomach, because you're sick so often." Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of weird. I mean, this guy has had like handkerchiefs go out and heal people. And he says to his protege, for you, drink a little bit of wine for your stomach, right? And so you see here that both are in operation. So when people will say to me sometime, thankfully I don't often get this, but if rarely I get somebody who says, well, I'm sick, what should I do? Should I ask for prayer or do I go see a doctor? The right answer biblically is yes. It's not one or the other, it's both together. It's interesting to me that the medical profession has developed a lively interest in the role of prayer for physical healing. For example, Larry Dossey, MD, he writes this, "Today there are more than 65 controlled studies that have been done investigating the role of intercessory prayer that show statistical evidence that prayer has had a significant effect in the patient's healing." In addition, he goes on to write, "More than 250 studies show that on average, religious practice that includes prayer promotes physical health." Now, let me go back to what happened just in January at my friend Greg's church. They start every year in January with a 21-day fast. They call anybody who's a believer in their church to do a 21-day fast. That might be a food. It might be a certain types of food. It might be of social media. Whatever it is that the person chooses from, they say, hey, let's fast together. And they do that to jumpstart their year spiritually. Greg is in his mid-60s at this point, and shortly before the fast began, his youngest daughter, her name's Jenny Surratt, was diagnosed with breast cancer and began medical treatment, including radiation and chemo. And they decided that they would conclude this year, the 21 days of fasting, that they would gather together as a church and they would just pray for anyone who was sick. Now, part of that was obviously Jenny was sick, but they knew other people in the church who were sick as well. And so as they prayed, they felt like that's what God was inviting them to do. So they called an evening of prayer and they didn't know what to expect. And unfortunately, Jenny was not immediately healed through that prayer time. So she's still in treatment, radiation and chemo. And I am praying for Jenny Surratt, encourage you to do that as well. But here's the thing, on that evening, 200 other people are reporting that they were physically healed of some type of physical illness. This just happened in January. Some of them have gone to their doctors and have received verification. For example, a guy named Cody Carlton with bilateral Meniere's disease, which is a nerve disorder of the inner ear that affects 0.2% of the population. It causes vertigo, dizziness, and hearing loss. He went in with hearing aids because he needed hearing aids in both ears. And while they were praying, just in the whole kind of group, they were praying, he said later that he felt what felt like, you know, when you go in an airplane and you kind of go up in elevation, your ears kind of pop. He said that he felt that sensation. And when he felt that sensation, he took off his hearing aids and he could hear crystal clear. And he turned to his wife and said, I'm sorry if we wasted money on these hearing aids, but I'm not going to need these anymore. And so he's been able, we can applaud God's good work. In fact, he went to the specialist that had been treating him, and he went from 50% hearing loss in each ear to 0% hearing loss in each ear. And the specialist said, there is no known cure for bilateral Meniere's disease, so whatever happened to you is a verified miracle. A woman named Abby Pittner was also healed of painful cysts in her reproductive organs. That was also actually verified by a doctor. Another woman named Deborah Sater is under 30 and had cardiac issues, and her heart was healed And so her cardiologist has actually verified that her heart has actually been healed. Now, there's nothing in the Bible that teaches that spiritual gifts were only for the early church. Some people maybe have heard that teaching, but that's not actually accurate or true. In 1 Corinthians 13, 9 to 12, it tells us that spiritual gifts will only pass away, quote, when the perfect comes, because then, quote, we shall see face to face. And in context, it's really speaking about the perfect, meaning the perfect creation, Jesus' second coming to us when we see Jesus face to face. So since the second coming hasn't yet occurred, spiritual gifts are still in full operation. They will only pass away whenever the second coming occurs because they'll no longer be needed at that point in time. Until the second coming of Jesus, they are needed and they happen today. The second thing I want us to dial in on this topic is this. It's there for you as a teaching note. We want to dare enough to pray for the sick, and we want to care enough to not burden the sick. I've seen people in churches kind of run to two different extremes. The one extreme is, I'm not going to pray for the sick. The other extreme is, I'm going to pray for the sick, but if they don't get well, I'm going to make it their fault. And we don't want to be in either category. I remember whenever Allison and I were sick, well, she was, and we had a miscarriage. And I had someone come to me trying to explain why exactly my wife was having a miscarriage. And so they said, well, Tom, maybe it's because of this, or maybe it's because of that. And I thought inside, maybe if you keep talking, I'm going to punch you in the face, and then you're going to need healing as a result of you running your mouth right now, right? Now, they thought they were helping, but actually, they were just burdening me and making it worse. They were making it worse. I know that they thought they were making it better, but I didn't need an explanation, and they couldn't provide one. And by trying to provide one, they overstepped a boundary that actually made it worse. And I know some of you have experienced that as well. Maybe someone somewhere along the way had tried to over-explain something because they feel like they've got to be God's PR person, and God never appointed them to be God's PR person. If you feel like you're God's PR person, go read the book of Job, because the people who felt like God's PR people end up getting rebuked by the end of the book. So what I'm saying to you is this, is that sometimes when people have questions, you just have to say, I can't fully explain it all to you. And if you've had that where people have hurt you by what they've said, I want to say I'm sorry, and I also want to say forgive them. Paul is addressing spiritual gifts in his letter to the church in Corinth when he says this in 1 Corinthians 12:12. Now we see things imperfectly. That means we can't explain it all perfectly. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror, but then we will see everything with perfect clarity. Speaking of when Jesus comes again, the second coming. All that I know now is partial and complete. Well, everything I know now is partial and complete. That means you got to be a little bit humble when you try to start explaining how everything all worked on this. But then I will know everything completely, just as God knows me completely. We want to dare enough to pray prayers of believing prayer for the sick to be healed, but caring enough for those who are not immediately healed to not burden them by trying to explain it all. When somebody will ask me, well, what about the people who are not healed? I know that comes with a lot of emotion. It comes with a lot of emotion for me as well. Why wasn't I healed? Someone will ask me. Or why wasn't my loved one healed? Or why did God heal that person but not that person? Or why isn't everyone healed? They'll ask. Or how do you explain those who weren't healed? And this is part of the whole healing phenomenon, spiritual gift of healing, that makes me want to shy away from teaching on it. Now, I don't have answers to every question on the topic of healing, but when it comes to healing, there seems to be three forms of healing that would occur. Some are healed immediately through prayer. It happens in a moment of time, and we heard one of those testimonies. Others are healed progressively by medicine and doctors. I've seen people healed progressively by prayer as well. So there's immediately, there's progressively. Still others are healed eternally by entrance into heaven, where we receive the promise of our new bodies. In 2 Corinthians 5:4, it says this, when we live in these earthly bodies, we groan and sigh, but it's not that we want to die and get rid of these bodies that clothe us. Rather, we want to put on our new bodies, so that these dying bodies will be swallowed up by life. God himself has prepared us for this, and as a guarantee, he has given us his Holy Spirit. So I've seen all three time frames happen with people that I love dearly. I've seen people I love dearly healed immediately, healed progressively, and healed eternally. And if you're like me, you'd rather see everybody healed right here, right now, for the ones that you love the most. But there's a mystery to this topic. But what's clear in the scriptures is that we are called to pray for the sick with faith and with compassion, and those two things need to stay and go together. To be clear, according to the scripture, Jesus healed every kind of disease and sickness. We read that in Matthew 9, 35. But at times, his disciples weren't quite as successful. In fact, in Matthew 17, 16, we hear Father say to Jesus, "So I brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't heal him." In that particular case, then Jesus rebuked the demon in the boy, and it left him, and from that point on, the boy was well. Afterwards, the disciples asked Jesus privately, "Why couldn't we cast out the demon?" And this is what he said, "You don't have enough faith." Jesus told them, "I tell you the truth, if you had faith even as small as a mustard seed, then you could say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it would move. Nothing would be impossible." Notice, it's not the oppressed kid that didn't have enough faith, and it's not the oppressed kid's dad that didn't have enough faith, because they get healed, the son gets healed by Jesus. In this case, the obstacle was the disciples' lack of faith. But they must have kept learning and growing, because by the time we get to the book of Acts, it's filled with healings that are done by the same people who were not successful previously. In fact, in Acts chapter 3, God uses Peter to heal a man who had been lame from birth. And whenever the crowd begins to gather, he says, "Why are you staring at us as if our power or our righteousness made this happen? We didn't make this happen by our power or godliness. It was by faith in Jesus' name." And we can tend to think here that healing is kind of, well, that's kind of only for the people who are like the super saints of Jesus. But Peter says, no, actually, it wasn't our godliness and it wasn't our power that did this. It was faith in Jesus' name that healed this man before their eyes. The Bible's clear that faith certainly plays a role in healing. We see this in Matthew 9, verse 20. It says this, "Just then a woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind Jesus, touched the edge of his cloak, and she said to herself, 'If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed.'" That's a statement of faith. Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter, your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. So we see in this woman a positive example of the role of faith in healing. But conversely, a lack of faith can be limiting. Like when Jesus went to his hometown, we read in Matthew 13, verse 58, "And he did not do many miracles because of their lack of faith." It doesn't say he could not. He says he did not do many miracles because of their lack of faith. God's word is clear that we're not just to pray, but we are to pray believing prayers. But if we're not careful, we can end up being a little bit too pragmatic. We'll end up praying prayers that are not ones full of faith and not ones full of belief, because we're afraid to be disappointed. We want to be wise and careful to not fall into a self-fulfilling prophecy, an old one that used to say, "Blessed are those who expect nothing, for they shall not be disappointed." We want to be careful that our greatest goal in life is to not be disappointed. We want to say, "God, I want to believe, and I want to pray believing prayers." You know, believing prayers done in the context of love and compassion, even for the sickest of people that I've ever prayed for, even if they don't get physically well in that moment, they end up being built up, and they're grateful for the fact that they were prayed for in the context of love. I go and pray for people in hospitals just as part of my role. And everybody's always grateful that I made the time to come, even if they didn't get immediately healed. And so we want to be praying in a context of love and compassion, expecting God to be at work. The third thing that I often get is, okay, well, maybe healing happens today, but how come it always happens far away in some other country that I've never been to? Well, actually, the stories I told you happened right here in the U.S., but let me bring it even closer. I'm going to tell you some stories that happened right here, not just in Los Angeles, right here in this church called Christian Assembly. Faith comes from the hearing of God's word. So recently I've felt God's invitation for me to read everything that God says in his word, the Bible, about faith. And you can do the same thing if you want to build up your faith in this area of healing. Just open up the Bible, begin to read through what God says about healing and prayer. I've also been reading some biographies of people in the recent past who had remarkable healing ministries, people like Smith Wigglesworth as well as F.F. Bosworth. In fact, Smith Wigglesworth Wigglesworth was so effective at one city, this happened in Miami, they tried to stop him from praying for people because they said he was practicing medicine without a license. That's how effective he was. So he didn't stop praying, but he didn't lay hands on anybody in Miami, and people still got well whenever he prayed, and they're like, okay, well, I guess we'll let you keep praying, because they didn't know what else to do because their family members were getting healed. Throughout those testimonies, throughout history, my faith has been built up. Micah's story has built my faith up. My friend's church had over 200 people healed. They wrote a big blog post around it. You can read about it online. If you search Seacoast Church Mount Pleasant, what's going on at Seacoast, it'll come up. Along the way, the Holy Spirit has used this to gently convict me of my lack of conviction when it comes to praying for the sick to be healed. I notice that when people sometimes will say, will you pray for me to be healed, I will tend to quickly go to prayers of comfort. God, would you comfort them in their distress? And so, but I've realized in other areas of my prayer life, I have this strong conviction. Like people that come and they've got all sorts of crazy demonic stuff going on, I have full confidence that that's going to end in the moment as I pray for them. So I've been saying, God, would you grow this area of my faith? I believe, but help me in my unbelief. Give me the conviction that I have in other areas of prayer in this area for physical and emotional and inner healing as well. Well, as I prayed that prayer the following weekend, it was early April, Saturday night, I had a service. We had a service here, and I lost my keys. So I told some people, hey, I lost my keys. Can you help me find them? I went around. I looked. I even went, walked to my car, couldn't find them. I thought maybe I left them in my car. Couldn't find them there. I come back in, and I'm right here looking like maybe I left them under the seat somewhere. They got kicked. Everybody had kind of left, so there was a small group over here to my right, and they were about to pray for a guy's back. And so they said, hey, will you come over and pray for healing for Jim's back? Jim's given me permission to share the story. And as soon as they asked it, I thought this. It was just like popped into my brain. Oh, my lost keys are not about my lost keys. My lost keys are about bringing me back to this moment. And as soon as I pray for this guy, somebody's going to say that they found my keys, and then I'll be able to go home. So I walk over and I pray for Jim. No lightning falls from the sky or anything, but we pray for him. And then we're done praying, and as I open my eyes up, there's a guy standing right there, one of our staff members, who says, hey, we found your keys. And I thought, well, of course you found my keys, because now I'm done praying for the guy, right? So a few days later, the guy, Jim, he messaged me. He says, hey, Tom, God really touched my back through you and Carol. God really healed me because I've been hurting for several months now with little relief. God did something dramatic after you prayed. Well, me being the pastor full of faith that I am, I wrote back and I said, no, he didn't. That didn't really happen. Maybe it was a placebo effect. Maybe you're making it up. Are you sure that your back was really physically healed? And he said, yeah, I'm still doing well. God really touched my back that night. Well, me being the man full of faith that I am, I was like, well, I'm going to give it a few weeks and check back in. And he's probably going to be walking with a cane. And so I messaged him and I said, Jim, how are you doing? He said, my back is still healed. It's now been about a month since that happened. That was Jim Adams, a longtime part of our church. Or hear this story from Dick Davis, another longtime member of our church. This just happened in January. He's out of town this weekend, or I would have had him share in person, but he wrote out the story for me to share with you. He says this, quote, on November 29th, 2016, suddenly both my arms and hands and feet were completely numb, and at the same time they felt like they were on fire. When it didn't get any better, I went to see a doctor, and I was diagnosed with a rare condition called sudden onset acute myelitis. I was immediately admitted to the hospital, given high dosages of steroids to try to shrink a spinal lesion that had developed and narcotics to help with the pain. After I was released, I saw several neurologists and specialists, and it was determined that there was nothing they could do to restore the nerve damage that had occurred. I had no feelings in my hands, which meant that I could not do anything because I could not feel. I mean, imagine, you know, your hands move, but you can't feel them. It's hard to figure that out and use them well. And with no feelings, he continues on, no feelings in my feet, I had trouble with balance because I couldn't feel the bottom of my feet. I was placed on anti-seizure nerve block medicine. However, in order to take enough to dull the pain, I would become severely impaired in my mind and focus, body, energy, motivation, emotions, personality, and spirit. I was experiencing the reality that long-term chronic pain changes you. My wife Crystal and I prayed every day for over 2 years that I would be delivered from this affliction. Think about that. Every day for 2 years. On January 9, 2019, we were attending a group with CA people, and the topic was on physical healing. After the person taught on physical healing, they asked if anyone wanted to be prayed for physical healing. I immediately stood up and declared that I wanted to be healed. Three of the people in the small group present laid hands on me and prayed over me, and specifically prayed over my hands and feet. And as they did, I began to feel tingling in my hands and feet like they were thawing out. They prayed over me twice, and each time I experienced more healing until I regained full feeling in my hands and my feet. In addition, I have not experienced any pain since then. So that was January. This is now May. I have not needed to take any medication for the pain as I had done before since that night I had been prayed for, and I'm now sleeping through the night because he wasn't able to sleep through the night because of all the pain. Praise God, I'm so grateful to God for his faithfulness, compassion, and physical healing. It is now my desire to pray for and see the Lord heal others. You see, it's not just Jim and it's not just Dick. It's also a woman named Reggie Ursetti, a longtime part of CA, who had a shoulder issue. And she was told by a doctor that it was going to require surgery. But it wasn't an emergency, so she was waiting until this summer to have the surgery because she works at a school. And so she was actually prayed for as well in January, actually in that same small group. Makes you want to go to that small group, right? And now has no pain, has mobility that she had never had before in her shoulder, and she does not need to have the surgery this summer that had been scheduled. And it's not just those three. There's a woman who was prayed, and she was anemic, which is a blood issue, and they prayed for her, and she got better. And her doctors aren't even really under certain how she got better, but she got better. And this was on top of the stories that we've shared previously, like Gilbert Hussepian, who was in a motorcycle accident on the 2, the Angeles Crest. He had to be life-flighted to Huntington Hospital. They thought he was going to die. They called me. They're like, hey, come over here. He's going to die. Prayed for him. And through a series of months, he got better to the point that they kept saying, well, okay, maybe he's going to live, but he's going to have brain damage. Okay, maybe he's not going to have brain damage, but he's going to be paralyzed. And now he's gotten fully well to the point that Huntington Hospital in Pasadena has opened a case study to try to understand what the heck happened to that guy and how did he actually get better, right? Let me tell you another story. I know some of you are new. Like, one of the stories is of Ari Berto. This happened years ago. We had a couple in our prayer team, Antonio and Teresa. They had the habit of going to hospitals and saying to the nurse's station, who's the sickest person here who doesn't have anybody visit them? And they said, well, there's a guy at the end of the hall that's in a coma, and they're waiting for his family to come from kind of outside the country and fly in. They're going to end up pulling the plug on him. So they went and prayed for this guy while he was in a coma, and they went back day after day after day after day after day. And eventually, he woke up. He wakes up, and this is what he says to them. He says, while I was in my coma, a being showed up in a vision, and this being was emitting light. And he said that he sent two of his followers to pray for me to wake me up, and that they were going to tell me how to know the being who showed up in my vision and emits light. So he says to Antonio and Teresa, who he's never met before, doesn't know them, who are you and who do you follow? And they say, well, we're followers of Jesus, and they share the gospel, and Heriberto comes to know Christ. The backstory on that is he was getting involved in all sorts of shady stuff he shouldn't have been involved in, and his mom prayed and said, God, whatever you need to do to reveal yourself to my son, I give you permission to do that. Now, moms, you might not want to pray that, because then he got in an accident, which put him in the coma, which eventually God had Antonio and Teresa go pray for him, and you heard the rest of the story. Heriberto has come to Christ through that and has been healed. And it's not just Heriberto, it's Rebecca Schubert, who leads 345. You've heard her story before. If you're new and you haven't heard it, she's given me permission to say, ask her about it. And it's not just them. It's also Trey Gomez, who leads our K12 kids ministry, who's been physically healed by prayer. And so I've invited him to share his testimony in person when we do the June 6th prayer ministry night. There is healing happening, not just out there somewhere. It's happening right in this church. It's happening right in this church. And yet, if I were honest with you, we celebrate all that God's doing. But I also say, okay, God, I want to see you do more, not as a test of you, Lord, but because I know there are others that you would want to heal. And so let's pray. God, would you release your healing authority in our life? In fact, as a way of response, you got this little green RSVP card, and here's the deal. We're going to set aside an evening that's going to be an unrushed, unhurried time. I'm not going to do teaching. We're just going to have time of worship and some testimonies and some scripture, and then I'm going to invite you to be prayed for through a variety of things that the Holy Spirit does. Yes, that will include prayer for inner healing and physical healing, but also other things the Holy Spirit does, like guidance in your life, or release of the spiritual gifts in your life, or increase of the fruit of the Spirit, or greater purification from sin and freedom from sin. Maybe you're in a time of distress and you need the comfort of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to just pray for everything the Holy Spirit does on June 6th in an unhurried space. It's really a space for believers. It's not really probably the best place to bring your unbelieving friend. And so you can bring your unbelieving friends on the weekends, but I'm not going to be teaching that night. If you want to be part of that, go ahead and fill out that RSVP card now, and you can put it in the bucket as you exit. By filling out the RSVP card, it just helps us line up enough prayer teams so that we can serve everyone who'd want to be prayed for. Also, if you do that, you'll see I'm holding, you can look at me now, I'm holding a prayer ministry worship night preparation guide. We have this on our website. If you go to the link that talks about it, it's also on the CA app. You can print it out or just use a digital copy. This is a 12-day devotional guide that Matt Price wrote in order to help prepare you. So if you start this next weekend, you'll have 12 days that will help you get prepared for that Thursday evening. Others of you, maybe you want to go more in depth on this topic of healing. In your bulletin, I've listed a book. The title is simply Healing by Francis McNutt. I encourage you to read that book. I just read through it. It was great. Still others of you, if you have the spiritual gift of healing, want to encourage you to email marvine@cachurch.org to learn more about being involved in our prayer teams. And so now, with all of those responses in your minds, and you can determine how you want to respond, let's pray as we close. So God, we pray now for those on our right and our left. And we might not know them, we might know them really well, but we pray for them now. And we pray, Lord, where maybe there's sickness of spirit, maybe there's unforgiveness or anger or bitterness that's in them for whatever reason, that you would lead them to a healing touch. That they would no longer say, well, I'm never going to forgive that person. But instead, they maybe would say, God, help me forgive that person. Free them from a sick spirit. Lord, for those that have experienced things that need inner healing, maybe it's not, you wouldn't look at them and see any physical issue, but there's maybe past traumas that they've been through. Lord, we pray for them now. Would you bring inner healing? We pray for healing from depression. Lord, we pray for healing from PTSD. I know we have some war veterans. I know PTSD could happen in other ways too. We pray for healing, Lord. Inner healing would occur. Pray for healing over anxiety, Lord. Healing over mental health issues, Lord. We pray for healing. Lord, those that come with physical needs, would you heal them? Even last night, a woman telling me her story of being healed of arthritis in a moment of prayer. God, would you bring physical healing? Lord, your word says that these signs will accompany those who believe. So we ask God for healing for those on our right and left. Lord, we ask for deliverance for those on our right and left. Lord, where there's spiritual forces involved, we ask for complete freedom from them in Jesus' name. We pray for that for those on our right and our left. And so, Lord, we give you this community, this church. And we ask, Lord, that humbly you would teach us how to be people who believe and pray and see you at work in our life through this spiritual gift of healing. Inner healing, repentance healing, physical healing. And deliverance. Lord, you're already doing it. I had so many stories, I couldn't even tell them all. There's even more that I haven't had the chance to tell. And so, Lord, we thank you at how your work at this little local church called Christian Assembly, may you continue to do that, setting people free. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.